In just a moment, I'm going to ask the question, why is it that God wants to produce patience in our lives? And that's part of the answer right there. It's not part of the sermon, although now, after reflecting on the song, I wish it was. It is God wants to get us still, and sometimes He has to get us completely still before we can truly know that He's God. And this is why He works patience in our lives. Beloved, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in the life of the child of God to produce fruit. Now, I'm talking to Christians, okay? So the Holy Spirit of God is actively at work in the life of every child of God. And that means you, if you know Jesus. Now, if you don't know Jesus, now we've got something else to talk about here in just a minute, but if you know Jesus, if you're a Christian, you've given your life to Christ, He lives within you, Christ in you, you in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life producing fruit. And so He tells us what that fruit is. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His word. Now, there's no law, meaning that there's nothing that can stop it. There's nothing that can stop the Holy Spirit of God at work in your life producing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the question is it on exhibit in your life? And this morning, we're going to look at the fourth aspect of the fruit. There's a pen right there I'm stepping on. We're going to look at the fourth aspect of the fruit, which is patience. We've looked at the first three, love, joy, and peace. And we've seen what those mean in our lives. Now, here we have patience. And patience, as Mike just mentioned, may be one of the most difficult aspects of the fruit. Remember, there's just one fruit, but nine flavors, if you will. And patience, when love, joy, and peace are working together, they're going to produce, our patience is produced in our life, but we don't necessarily come naturally by this. Patience is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And you know this because everybody loses their patience at some point. In fact, it may be the most difficult thing to hang on to. It's hard to get, easy to lose. I read a story this week about a kindergarten teacher up north. And if anybody's got to be patient, has got to have patience, you know it's got to be a kindergarten teacher. I mean, if you're not sure about that, just spend all day long in a classroom with 24 5-year-olds and see if that doesn't test your patience. And I mean, it boggles my mind. It's not something that I could do. I don't have that. I don't know that the Holy Spirit could produce enough patience in my life for me to do that. But anyway, He does in some folks' lives. And so this particular teacher is up north. It was a snowy day, and so they hadn't been able to go outside. The kids had been cooped up in the classroom all day long. And finally it was time. And this precious teacher, she was, you know, just on her last nerve. It was time to go home, and she's trying to get the kids together, get their stuff on. There's one little boy standing there with his boots sitting there, and he's crying, you know, and she sets him down. She said, "Let's get these boots on. You know, it's time to go home." So she wrestles with these boots. They're real tight. Finally gets them on his feet, and he's still crying. She says, "What's the matter?" He says, "Wrong feet." She looks down, sure enough, she's got the left on the right on the left. So she struggles, pulls them off and switches them over, and now she pushes them up on her feet, on his feet. Well, he's still crying. She says, "What's the matter?" He said, "These are not my boots." So she pulls them off. So she pulls them off of his feet, pops them off. He's still crying. She says, "What's the matter?" He said, "These are my brother's boots. My mother told me to wear them today." So she shoves him back on his feet. And then she looks around. He's still crying. She says, "Where are your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in my boots." She ran screaming from the room, and the next day that class had a new teacher. And you can understand that. Well, you don't always see patience, but you know impatience when you see it. It can certainly come out. I mean, if you've ever stood at an elevator watching somebody wait for the elevator to arrive, you know, if you push that button one time, the elevator is going to come sooner or later. It doesn't necessarily help to sit there and keep jamming it, you know, like some of you do. This past week, Donna and I were in a hotel, and I was watching this, and there some people, and I may be related to some of them, they come up and they just poke that button, you know, thinking that that's going to speed the thing up. Or like the thermostat. Folks, ladies, can I say this to ladies? If it's, why are you laughing? If it's warm and you turn the thermostat down just a little bit and the air conditioning unit comes on, it's not going to cool off any faster by running it down another 20 degrees, okay? If you just do it 1 degree at a time, honey, I promise you it will cool off. You know, patience is something that is a trial for me. In fact, I've mentioned this ditty before, and it really communicates. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, and never in a man. I think I might have got that backwards. Is that? I don't know. So God has to work, and in some of us, He's got to work overtime to produce the patience in our lives. Now, the question I want to ask you, really two questions this morning. Why? Why is patience part of the fruit of the Spirit? Why does God desire to produce patience in our lives? And the second question is going to be, what processes does He use, or how does the Spirit work to produce that patience? So the first thing is why. Why in the world is it love, joy, peace, patience? Three things I want to mention to you. Number one, patience displays a blessed life. That is, when you react in patience to the stressors of your life, that is, when problems come and you could lose your cool, when you respond with patience, you are demonstrating really that your life is blessed by God. The word translated patience here is the Greek word makrothumia, and it's two words, macro meaning long, and thumia meaning temper, long-tempered. So it's the opposite from quick-tempered or short-tempered. And so someone who is long-tempered faces things that try their temper, or that might lead them to lose their temper, but we have a long temper. The Old Testament word, or the King James translates this word in the Old Testament as long suffering. And by the way, most of the time that word is used, it refers to God. So impatience is when we react angrily to the stressors or the problems of our life. And patience is when we have that long fuse. And God works. The Spirit of God works within us to produce that long fuse. And it is a very, very powerful thing in our lives. This is why it's part of the blessings of life. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in Proverbs 16:32, he said, "Patience is better than power, and controlling one's temper than capturing a city." Now, did you get that? Patience is better than power, and controlling your temper is better than even than ruling a city. In Proverbs 25:15, he went on to say, "A ruler can be persuaded through patience, and a gentle tongue can break a bone." And what he means there is patience actually gives us power over people, and it gives us power over things. What happens is when we quickly lose our temper, we're letting things and people control us. There's an old proverb, an old Chinese proverb, that says, "One moment of patience may ward off great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a life." And this is the reality. What happens is we can lose our cool, we can blow it, and we can make a tremendous mess of things, or we can hold our temper, and we can actually find the blessings of life. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read the story, a testimony of a man who lives in Houston. He's actually a deacon at one of the larger Baptist churches in Houston, and a very successful businessman. He gave this testimony. He said one morning, he was a little bit late going to work. He goes out, gets in his car, and he tries to start it, and the battery is dead. And so his wife's car is sitting in the garage next to his, and she's away on a trip, so he just jumps in her car, starts it up, races off to work. But he's in Houston traffic, and he gets stopped on one of the freeways. There's an accident, and he's sitting there in a parking lot, and he's just fuming already because he's late for work and he's got a lot to do, when the guy behind him honks his horn. And he's thinking, what in the world is that joker doing honking his horn? He kind of looks back, and the guy, you know, waves and everything. And he's like, man, we can't go anywhere, and here this guy is honking his horn. And he kind of sticks his head out the window and shakes his fist. The guy honks again, you know, and that just goes all over him. He said, if I'd been in my vehicle and I'd had my weapon in the car, I might have pulled it out and, fired off a couple of rounds, you know, at this guy. I was that mad, he said. But the guy honked the third time. He said, that was it. I got out of my car, he says. He walked back. He slammed it in the park. Goes back. The guy rolls his window down. He reaches through the window, grabs the guy, pulls him out, shakes him, and said, what in the world are you honking at? Don't you understand we're not going anywhere? Why are you doing that? And the guy, with this perplexed look on his face, just said, well, I was just doing what the bumper sticker said to do. So at this point, this Baptist deacon who's holding this guy by the collar looks up at his car. He's driving his wife's car, remember, and she's got a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. He let go of the guy. He said, sir, I do love Jesus, but I'm not showing it very good. Today, I ask you to forgive me. And he said that incident changed his life. That he almost, you know, just completely and totally blew it. But God used that to work patience in his life. When you lose your cool, when you blow it, it is the unblessing that you become and that others are. When you can respond with patience, you are actually demonstrating or displaying a blessed life. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Patience displays a godly life. A godly life. And when I say a godly life, what I'm referring to is a life that looks like Jesus. A life in which When God is at work within your life and you respond in patience to the stressors and the problems of life, you're just doing exactly what God does. I mean, think about this. I mentioned that Old Testament word long-suffering is the translation of the word patience. And you know that word is used to describe God more than it's used to describe anything else or anyone else. I mean, God is a long-suffering God. The Bible says in Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Watch this. Slow to anger and great in faithful love. Did you catch that, slow to anger? Let me tell you something. The wrath of God, the Bible says, is being poured out upon all sin. But the fact that God is slow to anger is actually a blessing to us because it means that we can be saved. If God were not a patient God, the minute you sinned, you'd receive the wrath of God and you'd be lost and doomed for eternity. Are there any sinners in this place? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fact that God is patient with us means that we can be saved. He is slow to anger. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, but I receive mercy for this reason, so that in me, and the in me there, he's talking about is the work of Christ in his life. In me, the worst of them. And the them there is the sinners. So what he's saying is I was the worst of them, but Christ that worked in my life so that Christ Jesus, he says, might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who believe in him for eternal life. Paul says, you know what? If God weren't a patient God, I'd be on my way to hell. But because God is patient, because he's long-suffering, because he is at work in my life and he doesn't kick me aside just simply because I sin, but he continues to work. He draws me back to himself and I am able to be saved. God is a patient God, and when you exhibit patience, you're demonstrating a godly life. There's a very famous story about a famous orator. His name was Robert Ingersoll. And in the years following the Civil War, one of the primary pastimes that people had was to go and listen to great orators. There was no such thing as TV. There weren't video games. There wasn't radio. There wasn't anything. And so these orators would travel through the country. They'd come to town, and people would come and listen to them. And most of them were very eloquent, and they had beautiful voices. One of these guys was named Robert Ingersoll. Now, he was an atheist, or at the very least, an agnostic. He did not believe in God. And his most famous talk that he gave was, "Why I Am an Atheist." And so he would go, and great throngs of people would come, and he would speak for a couple of hours on why he was an atheist or why belief in God was foolish. At one point in his very famous speech, he would look up and he'd say, "I'm going to prove to you that there's no God." He'd look up to heaven and he said, "Okay, God, if you're real, strike me dead right now." Within the next 60 seconds, "You just go ahead and strike me dead." And then he would wait. He'd pull his watch out, and he would start counting it off. It said that oftentimes when he would do this, women in the audience would swoon. Some men would jump up and run out, afraid, you know, that the lightning bolt was about to strike. When he got to 60 seconds, he would click his watch and say, "There, see? There is no God. That proves it." And then he would go on. He was in Boston. He gave that speech in Boston one time, and the next day, one of the newspaper men asked a local pastor. The pastor's name was A.J. Gordon. Said, "Pastor Gordon, what'd you think about Mr. Ingersoll defying God like that and having God saying that there is a God, he ought to strike him dead in 60 seconds?" And Pastor Gordon, a classic response, he said, "I wonder if Mr. Ingersoll believes that he can exhaust God's marvelous patience in just 60 seconds." Beloved, God is a patient God. And because he's a patient God, we don't get what we deserve immediately for our sin. That God continues to work with us. And when we exhibit patience, we're just simply showing the patience of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 3, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling that you have received." Now, what is the calling you've received, beloved? You've received the call to walk as a child of God. Christ in you, you in Christ, you walk with him. And what happens is, as you walk with Christ, you look more and more like Jesus every day. I've mentioned before that we've got a friend, Don and I have a friend, her name is Dora Edmondson, and she used to say all the time, "I want to live more like Jesus every day so that when I'm raptured, I won't have to change that much." Now, that's the calling that we've all been called to look more like Jesus every day. Paul says that I urge you to walk worthy of that calling you've received with all humility and gentleness, watch this, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. You see, you're called to walk with Christ. You're called to look like Jesus so that a world that is wondering, is God real, can look at you and can see what God looks like. God is a patient God. And when you respond with patience to the things, to the stressors of this life, then you're actually demonstrating a godly life. Last thing, patience demonstrates maturity, in particular, spiritual maturity. If you think about it, patience is not natural. I've said that. It's not our natural response to everything. In fact, we're born impatient. If you just think about a little baby lying in a crib, and he wakes up in the middle of the night, and he's got a wet diaper, and he's hungry. Now, he doesn't sit there and reason this thing out. He doesn't sit there and think, well, you know, mom and dad have been working real hard lately, and I know mom is just wore out. And dad's been working hard too, and they're tired. And you know what? It's only a couple hours till the sun comes up. So I'm just going to lay here quietly until everybody gets up. And then I know they're going to give me something to eat. And then they'll change my diaper and everything will be cool. I'm not going to suffer in any way here. You know, babies don't reason things out that way, do they? If a baby wakes up and he's hungry, he wants his bottle and he wants it now. I mean, we're not going to discuss it at all. I want it now. In fact, now is too late. I mean, we are born impatient. This is the way that we come out of the womb. And children are impatient. A couple of weeks ago, Donna and I, we had our 8-year-old granddaughter. God bless her, man. Precious little girl. And we traveled all around. And as soon as we get in the car, how long is it going to be before we get there? Are we there yet? I'd forgotten all this stuff. You know, I mean, I'd forgot. How long is 10? We're going to be there in 10 minutes. How long is 10 minutes? And I'm like, we're going to get there. You know, just, I mean, the patient grandfather that I am, right? Now, don't ask again. I don't know if any of y'all have ever experienced anything like that, but children are naturally impatient. What ought to happen as we grow up and mature what ought to happen as we mature is we can wait. In fact, a child doesn't understand the word wait. One of the definitions of being adult is you know what the word wait means. But what happens is we come by our impatience naturally. And we grow. Now, we live in a culture that wants instant gratification. We have fast food, drive fast cars, and we get upset if the computer, you know, is just a second slow, you know. We want fast, fast, faster, faster. I read this week about a church in Florida. They call it Fast Church. 22-minute service. You drive up and you can go in or not because they've got something on the outside there. They got one song, one prayer. They have plenty of time for the offering, by the way, and then an 8-minute sermon. 22 minutes. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I don't think that that would work here in our church, especially the 8-minute sermon. But anyway, it's called Fast Church because we want fast. We want it now. And there's a correlation, actually, between patience and maturity. Immature, impatient. Mature, patient. And this is certainly true spiritually. Beloved, we're born babes in Christ. And we are called to grow spiritually. And maybe when we're babes in Christ, we react with anger and we blow ups, you know, of the things in this world. But as we go along, those type of things, we ought to be setting those things aside. Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, "You have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance." And here's an older, more mature Christian teaching a younger, less mature Christian. He said, "Now follow this example." And he says, "Patience and love and endurance, along with the persecutions and suffering that came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all." And that last part there is just his testimony of what patience does. It gives God the opportunity to work in your life and take care of things. And so here's a mature Christian saying, be patient. And what happens is patience actually grows faith. In fact, those two things go together. In Romans 8:25, the Bible says, "If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience." Now, the hope for what you don't see is another definition of the word faith. And so what happens is when you trust God, when you put your faith and trust in Him, now you're able to demonstrate or to display the patience of life. And so what happens is patience becomes the demonstration that I have matured in Christ. Do I have any mature Christians in this place today? That's why God says, "I want to work patience within you." The Spirit of God is at work within the child of God to produce love, joy, peace, patience. Because with patience, we demonstrate that we're blessed, that we're godly, that we're mature. But now the last question, how does God do this? How does the Spirit of God work within us to produce His patience? And it's a very simple thing. It's a very simple process. It's troubles and trials. In James chapter 1, verse 2, James said, "Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials." Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. Rejoice when you have problems. Rejoice when you suffer. Rejoice when you have trials. But he says, "Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience great trials or various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And that word endurance there is just another word for patience. It's enduring in the face of the test or trials of life. It is patience. And so Paul says, we rejoice. Why? Because when we face the trials of life, we understand that the Holy Spirit is at work in and through them to produce a good result within us. And this is why we don't have to worry and fret, understanding that God is sovereign and He is over all things. Even when bad things happen to us, the Spirit of God is at work and He works all things together for the good of them who love Him and called according to His purpose. And so we rejoice in our suffering, we rejoice in our trials, because the Spirit of God is working a good thing. I heard about a pastor who, one of his young men, came to him at one time and was telling him all the things that was going on and all the things that he was doing. He said, "Pastor, I need patience. Would you pray that I get patience?" And the pastor said, "I sure will. Let's pray right now." And so this kid's name was Jim. And so they knelt down and the pastor said, "Father, I ask you to give Jim troubles all day long. Give him troubles in the morning. Give him troubles at noon. Give him troubles at night. Give him troubles all day long." And Jim stopped him and said, "Wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't ask you to pray for troubles. I asked you to pray for patience." And the pastor said, "Brother, there's no shortcut to patience. The Spirit of God works patience in your life, but He does it through the testing and the tribulation and the trials of life. And that's how it works." Now, beloved, I just want to ask you this question. Do you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit that is called patience? What troubles are in your life today? Let's look at it from that aspect just a second. What troubles would you say? What problems are you having? Could you give thanks to God for them? You say, "Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in my life through these, because you're at work. Lord, you're filling me with your fruit. Thank you, Lord." Can you thank the Lord for what He's doing? Could you thank the Lord today for His patience? His patience. Because His patience, we're not lost, but we are saved. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus. And you're actually standing on the edge of hell. And the reason that's true is because you don't know if you're going to have another minute, another second. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You might walk out of this place and something, you get hit by a truck. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen to you. But God is a patient God. But at some point, does the patience of God run off? The reason that you're here and the reason that you are not in hell right now is because God is a patient God. And this morning I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus on the authority of God's word, if you will put your faith and trust in Him, you will be saved. And you need to be saved, because there is a God and there is a hell and there is a heaven. But you know what? For children of God, for God's people this morning, the invitation, and we're going to give an invitation right now, the invitation is to rejoice in what God is doing. And it might be that we need to come down here and we need to say, "Lord, there's some things that you still need to work in my life, because I'm looking at my life and I'm not seeing that fruit." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's nothing that can stop the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And today, it's patience. Father, would you help us, Lord, to receive from your hand everything that you have for us. And God, not to turn it aside. And Lord, I pray today for God, for our hearts. Lord, I pray that as you open our hearts up to you and to your word. Lord, that you'd convict us of our sin. Lord, that you would help us to rejoice in your patience. Father, I pray for that one here today, or two, maybe there's three here today, that would say, you know what, I don't know Jesus, and I'm trying, I'm testing the patience of God. Lord, I would just ask today that as your grace flows freely through this place, that the saving work of Jesus would be made manifest in these hearts and lives. And Father, for the children of God, for God's people, I pray that as the Spirit of God works within us, producing what only you can do, Lord, that you would make us into those joy-filled, Spirit-filled Christians, believers, looking like Jesus, so that a world that wonders, so that a world that doubts your existence would know that you live and rule and reign because you live in us. And Lord, that's my prayer today as we come to this time of response, of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.